Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
He's gone from suck to blow.
What?
Listen, I have nothing but the utmost respect for Case Keenum, not only as a football player, because he came from essentially nothing, a free agent out of the University of Houston. He worked his way. He's earned everything that he's gotten to this point. So I respect the heck out of that. I respect the heck out of the person that he is. He's a family man. He's a Christian man. He's got great leadership qualities. I respect all of those things. But I got to tell you, when he says this, I just don't believe him.
No, man. I mean, I love all those guys. You know, I mean, this Saturday it's gonna be competition, and we're gonna get after it. And I know those guys are gonna be jacked to get back on the field, just like I'm jacked to get back on the field. So, but yeah, no bad feelings.
No bad feelings. Listen, I believe when he says, you know, I love those guys. Those are my guys. You know, those guys I played with last year. We're brothers. Da 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 da. But no hard feelings. I gotta believe there are some hard feelings, and hard feelings are good. I think that's a good thing. I think those things motivate you. I think those things keep you out there in front. And I hope that he's got that fire burning in his belly that he says, I want to go shove it up their cans. You know what? And I believe that that's probably, you know, I understand you have to say the right thing, and it's a politically correct society that we live in. And, you know, everybody wants to be careful and don't step on any toes and all this, that, and the other. But I have got to believe that deep down inside, you know, he wants to just stick it to the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, give me a drive. Let me shove it down their throats for a touchdown, and let's end this thing. He's just, you know, I mean, he didn't go the Calvin Benjamin route, right? Or Kelvin Benjamin when he said, oh, Cam Newton's not accurate. My career would have been a lot better off. Yeah, deep down inside, you think some of those things. Yeah, Minnesota didn't even offer me a contract. I helped lead them to a NFC championship game. They don't even offer me a contract. Do I want to put it up there, you know, cans? Absolutely, I want to do that. But we're going to let my play speak on Saturday versus the Minnesota Vikings. So, I mean, I'm excited for this game. I know he's excited for this game. I've got to believe there's some animosity that that burns deep in the belly of a guy like Case Keenum, that he wants to go out there and perform. And personally, man, I'm excited about it. I can't wait. I can't wait to see Case Keenum and this Broncos team get their cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Troy, there are so many things that we need to see. And this is one of the things that kind of I want to get your opinion on. You're a Broncos insider. You write stories. You do stories. You do the news over at Channel 7. You're always constantly, you've been on the beat of the Broncos here for several years. Like, what are the things that you're looking at? Like, give me three things that you need to see from this Broncos team. Cause I think there's a lot of stuff as a Broncos fan, like Broncos country. You're like, I need to see something. I'm not sure what it is, but I need to see something that looks different than from last. Something that gives me hope that the final score is not going to matter here. Something that gives me hope about this team.
Well, it starts offensively with Case Keenum, you know, the ability to go out, execute a drive, play under center. And that's part of a second answer when it's three things. His ability to lead the team, which I think is unquestioned, that will be fine. But Case Keenum is the first thing you want to see. That's my first question. What does it look like? We've talked him up all camp. He's thrown three picks is all in, 11 days now of camp. But the second thing for me is the offensive line. It is a concern. They're thin there. I'm not sold yet on the right side of Connor McGovern and Jared Valdir. Ron Leary's dealing with a knee issue. I'm not sold on the offensive line. So what does that look like? We talk about they're going to be better. Hard to be a lot better if the line doesn't stabilize. And you can protect them through scheme. I get it. But I want to see what the line looks like. Because I've fallen victim to, oh, they'll be better with Menelik Watson. I got fooled. I thought he would be functional. He was awful. And Donald Stevenson was worse. So what does the line look like? Number two. And number three is the idea that as part of what the line looks like, I'm going to put another one in there. Who are they going to be blocking for at running back? They have to get a starting running back. I don't want to see five guys playing. I don't want that. When the season starts, I get it in preseason, but you got to figure out who is your bell cow running back on first and second down. Then the other thing is defensively, who are they now defensively? I joke, it's not the no fly zone, it's the new fly zone.
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to look like? And all this talk of getting pressure, you know, again, it's not NASCAR package four on the field. It's four on the floor. What is that going to look like? Because remember, folks, for all the talk about their defense, and it was related to their offense, Mark, last year because it stunk, they only had 33 sacks and 17 takeaways last year. 33 sacks and 17 takeaways. That's awful.
Right.
I mean, that, by any measure, even by, and certainly by their standards. So, what does Case Keenum look like as he walks out? Does he command the huddle, command the room, as you will, in a game, which I think that'll solve itself. What is the line slash running back situation going to be? Because August is going to give some answers, but what at our first glance, is that going to give more reason for hope or like, oh no, you know, they got problems up front? And defensively, who are they now? Who are they 2 years removed from the Super Bowl? Who is this defense? Is it a menacing, nasty, price of business, we'll get a few personal fouls and punch you in the mouth defense and get takeaways? Or is it a defense that's just not as talented as we think, and they better have a lead or they're not going to be as good? So that there's some huge questions here, but on the whole, they have more talent. That, for me, Mark, and I'll ask you, the fact that they're just more talented has to at least give you at least reason for optimism.
Yeah, oh, there's no question, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They're a more talented football team. You raise really good questions. Like, I need to see what the right side of that offensive line looks like. I need to see improvement from Garrett Bowles. I need to see a guy that has more football awareness. Like, if I see a guy that takes a set and never changes that set and is always at the same place every time they throw the ball, I'm going to be like, uh-oh. Like, there's a kid that does, and I don't even mind you getting beat, Troy. I don't mind that. Like, mistakes and errors that happen on the side of aggression, that's good. There's a learning curve. Do you understand how to, like, I'll give you a for instance. You know how I learned how not to upkick a really super wide three technique, almost a four eye technique? By doing it in a game and getting worked. Because the wider guy, like, if I want to take a short set, an upkick set on a guy, I need him to be fairly tight to me. If he's super, super wide and I try to do it, you know what happens to me? I get to the position where I have to go get that guy because he's so much wider that I end up creating one, a really short corner to the quarterback on my outside. I mean, a super short. And it gets to the point where you're almost perpendicular line of scrimmage because of his width. When you go up to get him, it creates that. Or if I go up to get him and I stick outside wide, then I create a really easy, huge hole on my inside. And the only way you learn that you can't do that in that particular situation is by doing it and getting burned on it. And then you say, okay, listen, if I get that kind of width, even if it's a three-step drop, I can't take a real hard upkick in that scenario because I expose myself as a player. But if you never, ever try, you never, ever make a mistake, you never learn from those mistakes, then you don't grow as a player. You don't understand the nuance of the game. And you need to see that kind of nuance. As we go through this game, you need to see that kind of development. You need to see that kind of, you know, you need to see the kind of progress from your players. So those are the little things that end up happening to you that you really want to, you know, that you really want to watch the growth of individual players. And obviously, hey, our nickel corner, Yadam, you know what? I'm going to have to see that growth. I want to see that growth from Bradley Roby. What does that look like? All these things. I will tell you this, and just off the top of my head, and this is an interesting question, and I'm going to ask you this when we come back, but I almost get this sense, not from a sense of, hey, I'm a jerk and I want to see kids fail, but I almost get this sense from Broncos country that they'd like to see Paxton Lynch fail so they can move on. And I don't know that the organization feels that way. I don't know where the organization is right now, but I need your opinion on this, because this is a huge game in my mind, a huge matchup for Paxton Lynch, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
Mark Schlereth here. When you're looking to replace your windows, you want the best. That's why I endorse Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. They sell Infinity from Marvin fiberglass windows. You can't buy Infinity windows from big box stores, so you know they never compromise on quality. Infinity fiberglass windows offer unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and durability. So call my friends at Gravina's Window Center of Littleton, 303-794-0490, or find them online at windowsforyourhome.com. And make sure you tell them Stink sent you.
Schlereth and Evans, Mark Schlereth, sitting in for my partner Mike Evans, hosting the show with alongside of Troy Rank from Denver 7, the Broncos insider. And you want to get a hold of us, RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Is it just me Friday? It's a football Friday, the first football Friday of the season. I'm really excited about this preseason game. So many questions need to be answered. And, you know, I want to go through some of these other questions, Troy. And you mentioned, you know, seeing Case Keenum for the first time. What's he going to look like? How's he going to open up the season? This offensive line, a lot of question marks, so maybe a lack of depth there. So we want to see exactly what they look like, the running back position. Heck, throw the tight end position in there. But this has just been a sense that I have gotten. And this is through Twitter, and this is through the RamosLaw.com text line with people that are just, I think, people here, Broncos country, I get the sense, are tired of the Paxton Lynch debate. They're tired of the fact that he was a first rounder, even though every analyst we brought on after that draft, I mean, we talked about during that draft, the 2016 draft, before and after, we talked about Paxton Lynch, and we talked about, you know, we talked to Trent Dilfer and Tim Hasselbeck, and I mean, just a host of other guys, that you know, former colleagues of mine, at ESPN, and every one of them said, hey man, 2 to 3 year project, 2 to 3 year project, 2 to 3 year project. You came on the program, say, hey, the Broncos understand that he's a project, but they're going to try to microwave this guy. It just hasn't worked. And I think it came to a head for most of us as football fans when you saw him crying on the sideline, in that Oakland Raider game. He had the ankle injury and they were coaxing him to, hey, you know, give it a whirl, give it a try, see if you can go back out there and play. And he's like, no, I'm done. I'm not going to play. And at that point, I think for us football people, we're like, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm done with you. Like, yeah, you can't play for me. But I get this sense that Broncos country, if you will, there's almost a sense that would you just please go out there and fail miserably so at least the organization can move on from you? Do you get that sense at all? Do you get that sense from Broncos country? Do you get that sense from the Broncos or the players at all?
Well, from Broncos country, yes, they have moved on because of Case Keenum. If Keenum weren't here and Paxton were going to be given a chance to start, then maybe you hold on to something that you saw over the first couple years. But Broncos country, it feels ready to, like, move on. I mean, he got beat out by Simeon twice, and certainly last year they did everything they could to give him the job, and he couldn't win it. And it's tough. It's tough as a general manager to say, you know what, first rounder didn't work out. You see it more common where teams move on from first rounders after a couple years, but that is the difficult thing to do, to say, you know what, we moved up in the draft to get this guy, and it has not worked out. But they are reaching a point where there is a one solution here, Mark. You don't have to move on from him. You could get a veteran quarterback, certainly a Matt Moore off the street.
Right.
But you could trade for a guy at the end of camp and then keep Paxton as a third stringer. You know, why you'd want to, I mean, that's a matter for debate. But then you run the risk of losing Chad Kelly, because I don't know that he would get to a practice squad. You have to clear waivers. So that's where fans watched Slaughter outplay him and Simeon outplay Lynch last summer. And if this summer, you know, if Kelly outplays him in the preseason, like, you can't basically not listen to what your eyes are telling you.
Right.
At some point, you have to go, okay, it's just not working. And maybe you need just a fresh start, but at some point, I just think, like they did with Simeon, you had to get him out of the room, not because he wasn't a good dude and all that. Sometimes you got to just fresh start, cut, you know, start anew, clear the deck. That's why, for me, I would move on from Lynch as well. I would try to trade him. I don't know who would take him, but I would try to trade him for a conditional pick, get a veteran as the backup, and have Chad Kelly as the number three, and just clear the, you know, as you said, clear the air. Just new day here. See, nothing personal. It's just time. We were 5-11. We're trying to get rid of that stench. We're trying to start fresh and kind of just moving on from that. But I don't see that. I see them getting a veteran and him sticking on the team as a third stringer.
We made a mistake, and it's hard when you make a mistake at that position, because that position is obviously the most scrutinized position, one of the most important positions in all of football, or the most important position in all of football, and you made a mistake. The other thing that's hard about that is that you see the other two quarterbacks that were taken in that draft class. Now, understand that they were taken way higher, number one and number two. Paxton was 26th, I think?
Correct.
So, I mean, but Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and what they've been able to do early in their career. Oh, Dak Prescott, but the first rounders I'm talking about. The first rounders, Dak Prescott was a fourth rounder. But
the Broncos love Prescott. He missed his flight here. So they were off of him. At the combine, Mark, they loved Dak Prescott. I thought they were going to draft Dak Prescott. He missed his flight here as a quarterback. And they were like, we got to move on. But
well,
speaking of moving on.
I'm telling you what, he may have missed his flight, but there was no flight from the neck up when you talked to Paxton Lynch in the pre-draft process. I mean, how you missed on that one. I know a bunch of organizations that I have talked to that were like, he was off our draft. We met with him. We took him off. Like, we can't draft this guy. So, you know, I mean, bottom line is you missed. And
it happens.
Right.
They're not the first or last team that's going to miss on a first round pick.
It happens. And you never know how a guy is going to respond. I just don't know that, like, if your philosophical approach to this is, hey, let's play him, hope he plays really well, give him a bunch of stuff that he can do, and see if we can create trade value. There's no trade value to that. Because I think the league knows you're off him, right? The league understands that you're off this guy. He needs a fresh start. So I don't think that, you know, you're going to get more value if he plays really well through the preseason. The one thing I don't want you to do is trick yourself into believing that all of a sudden, wait a minute, maybe he gets it. Like, I'm like you. I feel like it's time just to clear it. Say, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. We're going to clear you out, give you a fresh start, give you a chance to go make it somewhere else. All the best. We hope it works out for you. We hope you find what you're looking for, type of thing. And we're going to bring in a veteran backup to be a part of this organization, to continue to help the development of a Chad Kelly. I don't know what Chad Kelly's going to be either, but this is the direction that we're going in. So, I just think it's time, Troy. And we'll see. It makes it intriguing. The preseason is going to be intriguing.
August provides answers. You don't have to answer the question after the first game, but after a couple of weeks of August, once you get to the third preseason game, you want to see clarity. Because the third preseason game, your roster's really starting to take shape and your starters are going to play maybe three quarters, but you have the month of August provides clarity.
Yeah.
If Paxton Lynch goes out there and struggles against second stringers, I mean, at that point, you can't keep telling you something that your eyes are saying the opposite.
Yeah,
trust your instincts on it.
Yeah.
Trust your instincts on it. Now, maybe he goes out and balls out, but I would say, like, yeah, I hope they don't. Bill Musgrave won't do this. One thing I like about Musgrave, he's stubborn, and in terms of he's got some nastiness to him as a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Make Paxton run an offense you would run during the season. Don't put him in positions 18 quick slants in a row. So they see he's fine. I don't think they would do that, because you got to see, could he play if Case Keenum missed a couple of weeks? And if the answer to that question is no, then at some point you got to think about moving on.
Yeah, the preseason kicked off last night and it was glorious. Next in Four Down Territory.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First Down.
I really had fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. I mean, like I've told you guys earlier, I didn't quite know how much fun, if I would have this much fun again practicing football. I didn't know if I'd have this much fun again playing football. It's a preseason game, you know. I'm not going to overblow anything or blow anything out of proportion, but it's still a game, and it's still a chance to go up against another colored jersey, and it was a fun step along the way.
That Andrew Luck right there after his game last night, in which he played and played pretty well, although a short time. And as you mentioned, first preseason game. Great to see Andrew Luck back on a NFL football field, as last year he was not able to participate with that shoulder injury. I wish he would have as much fun shaving a neck beard as he did playing football last night. But great to see Andrew Luck back on a football field.
Yeah, he's one of the top players in the league when he's healthy. He's gone through a lot. The mental hurdles of how can he play and deal with, will his shoulder hold up? Can he let the ball go? He looked good last night. And as he said, it's preseason. But he ran around. He took a couple big hits.
Mm-hmm.
He said that was a good test for him moving forward. But the league's better if Andrew Luck is playing. He's one of the top players in the league, so I'm anxious to see what it looks like over the course of a season, but good to see him back in a uniform.
Really is good to see him back orchestrating an offense, and good for him, and it's good for the league, as you mentioned. It's important to see the Colts and Andrew Luck kind of have that success next in four down territory.
Second down.
Mayfield back, looks, throws, Callaway caught it, 45-40, and he may be gone. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Antonio Callaway, 54 yards.
That is obviously Browns radio, as the Browns took on yesterday. The Browns played the Giants yesterday. And Baker Mayfield actually looked pretty good. You know, I think one of the interesting things about this preseason and this season in general is I don't think you can watch Cleveland play or Baker Mayfield play or Josh Allen play for the Buffalo Bills, or, you know, whether it's Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, who will play tonight for the New York Jets. You can't help, as the Jets take on Atlanta, you can't help but think about the Broncos and how they had the number 5 overall pick, and could they have moved up in the draft to grab one of these guys? I think you'll always look at these guys and say, okay, what might have been? And obviously, there's a lot of people on the RamosLaw.com text line that have pointed out, hey, Stink, Baker Mayfield, you said you wouldn't take him. He looked pretty good. You know, I just think you always kind of look at these guys and equate them to what might have been had the Broncos gotten one of them.
Well, again, the curious case will be quarterback if they were going to move up and take a Mayfield. They had moved off of him by the night of the draft. It was kind of either Darnold or Chubb at that point. They weren't moving up for Mayfield on the night of the draft. Now, they liked Baker and throughout the process, but based on all my sources, the only guy they were going to move up to get was Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold could start opening night for the Jets. It's trending that direction. The one guy you keep an eye on, Mark, for them is Josh Rosen, because you did pass on him. He would be the guy, if he turned into a perennial Pro Bowler, that would be the one that, if Keenum doesn't turn out to be the solution and Rosen turns out to be a perennial Pro Bowler, then that's a tough one. But Chubb fell into their lap. I think fans are going to be pleasantly surprised with Bradley Chubb. You haven't heard a lot about him in camp this year, in part because, you know, he's learning new positions. He's moving inside, moving outside. But I think when they let the pass rush go against another opponent, you're going to be thrilled with Bradley Chubb.
I've seen him make some pass rush moves in practice that were like, oh goodness, like they were legit sacks. But you know, the play goes on. You know how it is in camp. Nobody gets to hit anybody.
Yeah,
so
it feels like it's not a sack, even though it would have been.
Yeah, it would have been. Next in the four down territories.
Third down.
Allen. There it is. Touchdown. His first in his NFL career. Ray Ray McCloud with the grab. Rookie to rookie.
Well, you talked about Josh Rosen being the comparative guy. The other guy that was available at that point when the Broncos picked at number 5, Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, inaccurate at times, but boy, his arm strength was on display. He made a couple of throws that were kind of eye-popping, eye-catching throws for the Buffalo Bills. What do you think about, you think that's a guy that the Broncos country will be looking at as well? I tend to agree with you on the Josh Rosen thing, but what about Josh Allen?
I don't believe they're going to regret not taking Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. Met him. He plays with a couple of kids that played with my baseball with my sons up at Wyoming. They all speak the world of Josh Allen. He and his family. I just don't know that he's going to be accurate enough to be a star quarterback. I don't know that. And he has the arm talent for days, but the league is not throwing 50 yards anymore. Everything's over the middle of the field, 10, 12-yard passes, in step. So I hope he has a great career, but I don't think the Broncos are going to regret that one. I just think the accuracy issues will prevent Allen from consistently right. starring in this league.
You talk about middle of the field. I mean, he completed one that was about a 20 plus yard throw that was just an absolute laser in the middle of field, a deep crossing route. But the 54-yard touchdown that Baker Mayfield threw was legitimately a slant pattern. The ball probably traveled about 9 yards in the air. But it was accurate. It was a second window throw. He pumped, he waited, then he threw it, put it on the hands of the receiver. The receiver made the free safety miss, and 54 yards later, it's a touchdown pass that traveled legitimately 8 yards in the air. And that's the kind of accuracy from the pocket that you're looking for, that you have to have in this league to be competitive and to win on a consistent basis. And Baker Mayfield did some of those things. He scrambled around, but I'm telling you what, he looked pretty good from the pocket as well. Still only completed 55% of his passes, but still looked the part anyhow. At the quarterback position, next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
The first team will get, you know, I would say 2 series max. You know, obviously it's things happen on game day, but just 2 series max. After that, we'll go with our twos, hopefully through the first half to probably the middle of the third quarter, and give our threes a chance to play probably third quarter to fourth.
That's Vance Joseph talking about the breakdown on Saturday night as the Minnesota Vikings come into town to play your Denver Broncos. Bronco Country, very excited about this game. So many things to look forward to. So many questions that need to be answered. And this is really where you're going to start answering those questions. Troy, we've seen it. We've seen this offense operate. We've seen this offense actually, you know, go toe-to-toe with the defense, which hasn't happened in 2 years. We've seen them make plenty of plays, but this is going to be a different deal. Different color jersey, a lot of great matchups here. We're going to get to see Case Keenum in this offense and how they focus or how they develop and how they orchestrate against an opponent that they haven't seen before. So this is exciting stuff for Case Keenum in his first kind of start, preseason start for the Denver Broncos.
It needs to look different. And we talked about hope has returned this year. It was a stranger for much of last season, certainly the last 2 months of the season. There is renewed optimism. But tonight, it is preseason. I keep saying nothing matters, everything counts. The first impression for Keenum matters in this way. Like, hey, you go out, you run a nice drive. Whether they get points, say it's a missed field goal, but you move the offense, move the chains, take care of the ball. You see some of the new weapons. You see how they use Emmanuel Sanders in 11 personnel in the slot. You see Cortland Sutton on the first drive, which I expect to. You see Jake Butt. And as a fan, you look at this offense and go, you know what? You know, we got a chance. We scored 18 points a game last year, but I'm looking at this team going, hey, they could get to 23 points a game. And that's when you start talking about a team that can go 8-8, 9-7. So for Case Keenum and the offense, yeah, show reasons for hope. Show reasons for hope that it's different, because the last 2 years have been the equivalent of watching C-SPAN. It has been just god-awful boring and unimaginative and just inept in every way statistically. So this is a time for a fresh start offensively.
No, it is definitely a time for a fresh start, and it is one of those situations where it's Keenum. You can't help but look at it this way. You know, when you're in the business that we're in and you're looking for storylines, you can't help but look at, hey, it's Case Keenum versus, you know, Kirk Cousins. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings basically say, hey, Case Keenum, thanks for a great season. You got us all the way to an NFC championship, you know, as part of a really good team. But we don't look at you as a quarterback that can get us over the top. And we look at a guy that has had varying degrees of success, although he's been very consistent in Washington as the guy to do that. So I can't see you looking at it any other way as a player as this is a slight on me. This is Minnesota saying, hey, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. We appreciate you. This is, hey, I've dated this girl for quite some time, but, you know, there's a prettier girl that I want to take to the prom. You know, and you can't, you just can't look at it any other way. So if you're Case Keenum, this means something. This game against Minnesota has got to mean something. And and that's what I'm looking forward to. It's just one of the many things I'm looking forward to as I watch this game and as I get prepared to watch Minnesota and Denver on Saturday night. It's going to be very exciting. Hey, you know what else is exciting? Adam Schefter. NFL insider extraordinaire from ESPN, Adam Schefter, joins us next. Hey, welcome back. Schlereth and Evans. Mark Schlereth sitting in the driver's seat alongside Troy Rank from Denver 7, Broncos insider. And joining us right now, Adam Schefter, a colleague, a guy that was a beat writer here forever when I was playing, a colleague of mine from ESPN back in my ESPN days, and one of the great guys that I've ever had the chance to be around, joins the program right now. He'll be joining us every week here on Schlereth and Evans. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Stinking, Troy. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, my man.
Doing great. You know, there's a lot of talk. We've been at training camp every day, you know, watching the Broncos kind of progress, watching Case Keenum. But there's been a lot of talk about a potential signing of a veteran quarterback here in Denver. What are you hearing, and who might be the suspects that you would look at that say, man, that guy makes sense for the Broncos?
You know, it's interesting because I know there's been a lot of discussion about this, and I could see them, if none of these guys impressed during the preseason, Paxton Lynch, Chad Kelly, I can see them being in that market. There are certain guys that are on the street right now, free agents. The Packers probably have an extra quarterback. Maybe they'd be getting rid of Brett Hundley, depending on how the preseason goes. Maybe they'd be willing to trade him. We talked about T.J. Yates being out there as a guy that has some familiarity with the system. Matt Moore is a guy who is just sitting on the street waiting for an opportunity. He's got some veteran experience. It's not as if there is an ideal market. I think some teams have extra quarterbacks and will decide not to carry three quarterbacks. And if one of the guys that they decide to get rid of is a veteran, that's where Denver might have its greatest success in finding another quarterback, is on that waiver wire when teams make their final roster moves going from 90 to 53 players.
Adam, this is Troy again. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan. There's a lot of focus on Saturday night on Paxton Lynch and his performance. He's expected to play with the twos from the second series on all the way into the third quarter, so a good chunk of time. Adam, you talk to everyone in the league all the time. What is the feeling outside of Denver about Lynch? Are there some people that think he could still salvage this and be the backup? And what would a market be like if they tried to move him during training camp if they need to get a veteran? What are you hearing in terms of Lynch and in terms of what this preseason might mean for him? Is he salvageable? Would they look to move him? What do you see?
Well, I don't think he's got much value around the league. And he doesn't have much value until he shows something in Denver, which he hasn't done. I think there are a lot of people that had a lot of questions about him to begin with, whether or not he was capable of leading a team, of being the force that a team needed in the huddle, whether he'd be the first guy in, last guy out, all the things that you look for in a quarterback. And I don't think we've seen that so far from Paxton Lynch. That doesn't mean that he can't turn into that. Different guys hit their stride at different stages of their career. But there's been nothing that we've seen so far that would lead you to believe that somebody would be willing to give up anything meaningful for him, that he would be able to make the jump. There's a reason we're having this discussion first about the Broncos perhaps in pursuit of a backup quarterback. If they saw enough from Paxton Lynch, why would they even be entertaining that idea? Why would we be discussing it? And if they indeed are looking for a backup quarterback, why would Paxton Lynch have any value then?
Yeah, you know what? I just don't see it unless he just balls out of control. But even then, I think there's, you know, oh, it's only preseason. There's always that talk. You mentioned a potential veteran quarterback maybe being released, you know, in the last one, waiver wire type of guy, or the potential of a trade. One of the reports out there last week was Teddy Bridgewater potentially available in trade from the Jets because they're so impressed with what Sam Darnold has done to this point. Teddy Bridgewater, health-wise and trade value-wise, is he a guy that would be open, and might he fit here in Denver?
I think he's too good, Stink. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is the guy that you want, you know, if something were to happen to Case, which nobody wants to happen, right?
Right.
I mean, Case and Teddy were in Minnesota last year. Teddy was still getting well physically. The Broncos actually kicked around the idea of pursuing Teddy and decided ultimately that Case gave them the best chance to win. And I think there were questions about Teddy's health limitations. Now, he seems to be doing very well this summer in Jets camp. But if you're the Broncos, the value that you'd have to give up to go get a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who was on a 1-year deal, it just wouldn't be worth it. And particularly if Case is playing well, like, that's his job, and he'd be in that position. So there really wouldn't be any great need to do that at that point in time. I almost view Teddy Bridgewater as a guy that if some team suffers a significant injury to its starting quarterback, Teddy would be the first guy I think the teams would look at, and his value at that time would be enhanced. But right now, just to trade for him as a veteran backup they wanted, I don't see that happening right now.
Big night last night. What did we have? 12 games, Adam, with a lot of emphasis on the rookies. Who popped for you? What stuck out in terms of a couple of storylines that you, the takeaways you had from what was essentially the opening night of the preseason?
Well, there are a few. I think first and foremost, Andrew Luck played for the first time in 585 days. That's impressive to see, and he looked good. So that was encouraging for the Colts. I happened to watch the Giants and the Browns. And Saquon Barkley's first carry went for 39 yards. He looked like a total stud on the run. Juked everybody. Nobody could catch him. Great run from Saquon Barkley. Baker Mayfield looked like a number one overall pick. Was poised. Was composed. Looked strong. Looked like the type of quarterback that you would hope that Cleveland was getting with the number one overall pick. And I watched some of the 49ers and Cowboys last night. And Jimmy G came on and completed half his passes early on. Dak looked good, but got them out. You're not going to see a whole lot the first weekend of the preseason, but there are enough little things that you see, a la Luck, Barkley, Mayfield, that are intriguing.
Yeah, no question about it. It's great to have football back. Great to have you back on the program, Adam. So much fun this season. Thank you so much for your time, man, and we look forward to talking to you every week, my friend.
Game, Troy. Look forward to myself and enjoy the game tomorrow night.
We certainly will. There it is, Troy. That's Adam Schefter from ESPN. ESPN extraordinaire. One guy you just don't want to go to dinner with, though. Like, Adam is a guy that you just don't want to go to dinner with. Not that you don't like Adam, because I love Adam. And not that I don't want to sit at dinner with Adam and share a meal with Adam, because I would love to do that. But Adam has two cell phones going at all times, and like it's like eating dinner by yourself. You're with Adam.
Oh,
yeah, Adam is there. Yeah, Adam
sad
is
emoji.
There. But Adam is constantly during the football season working the phones. I think the off season is the time to go to dinner with Adam, as long as you make him keep both cell phones in the car. Like that, you've got to. Like, I have this rule with my kids. Like, we go out to dinner, and if you take your cell phone out at the dinner table, you have to pay for your own dinner. My kids are older now. When you take it out, you're going to have to pay for your own dinner. I can take mine out because I'm paying for dinner, right? That's me. But if you take yours out, you have to pay for your own dinner. So everybody's got to keep them in there. Every now and again, you'll see them underneath the table trying to look at, you know, like, oh, right? So that's kind of a rule. I think if you go to dinner with Adam, you got to give the Schlereth kids rule. Take your cell phone out, but Adam can pay for his own dinner. So what does he care? Never mind. That rule doesn't work with Adam.
That's the issue. We'd go out to dinner with Woody Page, is all time great storyteller. But you go to dinner with him, you end up, not only is the cell phone out, you end up as the Ed McMahon sidekick to him, taking pictures with people that want to pose with Woody.
Right.
So not only do you not get to eat, and do you get lost in the conversation, but then you end up standing off to the side just taking pictures like it's Disneyland and they're posing with one of the characters for an hour.
Right.
So Woody's the best, man. He's the best. But yeah, it's an odd experience when you're there with a celebrity. And I'm not. So many people would recognize you. I don't get recognized, which, again, I have no problem with. But the cell phone rule is interesting. I don't know that I can impose that even on myself. I would not.
Yeah, you would not impose that rule on yourself because you're going to be on the cell phone.
Yes.
Just the way it's going to work. Getting back to the Broncos, getting back to Saturday night. Again, questions that need to be answered, Troy. And you mentioned, Case Keenum. That's a question that needs to be answered. The O-line was your number two thing. The running back question. When Vance Joseph was talking about this game, and talking about kind of how he breaks down the positions and how guys are going to play and how much playing time they're going to get. He said something really interesting about a position that you and I have talked about a lot. It's the running back position. And this is what Vance Joseph, you have that piece of sound, Ben? Okay, this is what Vance Joseph had to say about the running back position.
Obviously, right now, Book's the lead guy, you know, along with Royce. So those guys probably will split the time with the first two series. And after that, you know, everyone plays.
Book's the lead guy along with Royce. Like, almost catching yourself. There's that caveat. Like, hey, Book's our lead guy along with Royce. So there's...
That's an opening for the kid.
There's two lead guys is what you're telling me. There's two lead guys. Are you saying, hey, Book by far is our better back, but we drafted Royce to take over to, you know, in the third round? Or is that an opening? You know, like, read the tea leaves there. How do you read that, just that clip, that piece of sound? How do you read what Vance is saying about the running back position?
That Booker's the starter based on experience and his experience in pass pro. And they want Freeman to be the starter, is how I read it. They mm-hmm. want, I don't think he, I don't know that he will by opening night. I do think he's going to play a lot this season. Whether he gets there to the post by opening night, I don't know that now. I haven't seen him pop in training camp like I expected. You know, like Sutton pops, Deshaun Hamilton, mm-hmm. Josie Jewell even. You're like, okay, that guy's going to play. I mean, you just know.
Right.
I haven't seen that yet from Freeman. That's why these preseason games, August, provides clarity. In the next 2.5-3 weeks, can Freeman show that if not the starter, it doesn't matter, like Booker starts and you look up and Freeman has 13 carries and Booker has 9? Remember when it was Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson that one season? Ronnie was technically the starter, and every game C.J. Anderson had more carries and more plays. So the starter thing I don't get caught up in as much as how much is Freeman going to play.
But can you really, if you're the Broncos, can you really afford to have, you know, Booker your starter, and then all of a sudden you look at the end of the game and you're pretty split with carries and Freeman has a few more carries than Booker? Don't you really need to have a bell cow back here in this system? This is not the New England Patriots and you know, this is not Tom Brady. This is Case Keenum and the Broncos. Don't you feel like you need to establish a guy and have a guy that is more of a bell cow guy, a guy that gives you some versatility in the running game as well as the passing game? And we've seen them line up. We've seen them in their drills line up in a ton of two-back stuff. Don't you feel like that happens to be like I know how two-back works. Two-back is a way that we set you up as a defense, the way that we dictate, you know, formationally and personnel-wise, the way we say, hey, we're in two-backs, here we go, how are you going to match up to us? And then we're going to try to exploit you. We're going to try to make you wrong. Whatever decision you make, we're going to try to make you wrong. And I feel like Bill Musgrave is doing a lot of two-back stuff. And you need kind of, in my mind, you need kind of a bell cow to be a two-back team. Like, if you're going to run that, you need one guy that gives you that kind of versatility. And I just don't know. I don't know that Booker's that guy.
Well, they need a guy that's your first and second down back. And Freeman profiles as that. Remember about Booker. Now, maybe this is the year the light bulb goes on for him. Development happens at different stages, and it isn't always on the timetable you would like as a coach or even a player. But here's the issue with Booker that he has to answer. This isn't opinion. He averages 3.6 yards a carry his first two seasons. That's not cutting it as a starter. He's never had a run of more than 20 yards. So that has to change.
Right.
If he's going to be your starter.
Right. Saquon Barkley had one run.
His first carry of his
first
career.
First carry of his career that was 39 yards, like longer than any Booker run we've ever seen.
And again, that's my point. And that's not to dismiss Booker. I do think Booker has a role. For me, it's as a complimentary piece on third down or early in downs as a receiving threat. I've seen him look his best, most athletic as a receiving threat out of the backfield. So but Freeman's got to show it though. David Williams is a guy to keep an eye on. D'Angelo Henderson,
right.
Maybe he's the guy. But you need a guy for me that's your first and second down guy. And then you have versatility with a Lindsey, with a D'Angelo Henderson. I mean, there's enough pieces there to have versatility, but one of those guys needs to emerge as the first, second down type back.
Right. You know, it's interesting watching the Cleveland Browns play last night. and watching Nick Chubb, a guy I really liked coming out in the draft, and watching him, you know, you talked about Royce Freeman really hasn't popped in camp. Watching him do things that don't work in the NFL. There were so many times where he picked the long line of scrimmage and then tried to bust it outside.
Yeah,
and it was a -5 yard game, -2 yards.
Speed is different, man.
Right. It's like, it was shocking. I think he looked at it like, oh my goodness, this is a different scenario that I'm in right now. And I think that's part of the learning curve at the running back position, and maybe why we haven't seen to this point Royce Freeman kind of really rise up as the guy in that backfield.